Hello and welcome to the Reloading Rag Chew episode 6. So, just to let you guys know, I'm recording this a little bit different today. I've had an issue, especially with the last podcast, of things happening on the recorder, like the power cable not working and the batteries going dead and then the memory card filling up. So I'm trying something new. I'm using a different external microphone so that I can watch the recorder while it's going. Please let me know if the sound is any different. Hopefully I'll hear it when I go through. But wanted to talk to you guys today briefly, not briefly, it's a big topic, about case cleaning. This seems to be a really hot button topic when it comes to reloading. There's a lot of opinions out there. It's one of those things where I don't know if there's a right, wrong, or other answer. All of the options out there have their merits. All of them have their demerits. So I just wanted to go through because it's a really common thing that I see new reloaders starting with and saying, how do I need to clean my cases? What's the best way? What are my options? Why would I choose X over Y? So there's really, I'm going to say that there's four main ways to clean cases. And then there's a couple more that I'll talk about. The first one is, someone's going to argue with me on this, that it's not a way to clean it, but it's not. At least no kind of mechanical cleaning. This, if you read through old reloading books, early editions of Speer and Lyman and some of those, at the time a lot of those were published, there was not this overwhelming availability of case tumblers and stainless steel media and ultrasonic cleaners, I don't even think were invented at that point in time. So their answer was you'd basically wipe the dirt off the case with a cloth when you reloaded it. It works fine. In fact, a lot of the soot that builds up on the case from the firing, from the burning smokeless powder, works almost as a lubricant and can help prevent cases from getting stuck. Now, where this falls down is, especially for pistol shooters and with the advent of auto-loading rifles. With a bolt action or a break action, it's very easy to keep your brass safe. It's very easy to cover that ejection port with your hand when you open it up, and the brass never touches the ground. And if it doesn't touch the ground, the chance of it getting that dirty is pretty low. So it works really well on the just wipe it with a rag kind of mentality on those. And in fact, some precision rifle shooters will do that because they see that tumbling or another kind of abrasive means of cleaning the case may damage it or affect it or may cover up an issue that otherwise exists. So very much not cleaning is an option, despite what a lot of people will tell you. You still do clean it, but it's typically wiping it off with a rag. So that gets us past that first one. Like I said, not great if you're a pistol or like an AR, AK type shooter because your brass is going to end up on the ground. It's going to get dirty. The other thing where that comes into play is a lot of us buy range brass. So we don't shoot enough and there's not enough brass at my club to satisfy my habit. Really just sounded like a druggie there. But there's not enough brass out there at my club that I can pick up that'll satisfy all the needs that I've got, especially when I'm starting a new caliber that I might not have been collecting before. I'm starting something odd. So we buy brass off the internet. Well, you don't know, you can trust what the seller says, but even then you don't know. That brass could have rolled around on a cement floor for a week. It could have gotten stepped on. It could have been out in the grass and the mud and someone's just running through picking it up. You really don't know. So for that kind of stuff, you do want to clean your brass, and it's better to do a little bit more than the wipe down with a rag, unless you're talking a really small number of cases. Now, the big one for a long time was dry tumbling. Part of the reason for this is it's very simple. If you ever look at how a dry tumbler works, it's pretty much an out-of-balance fan duct taped to the bottom of a bowl. In fact, I'd bet that most of us in our basement could come up with something to replicate this action for free. They're very inexpensive. You can buy the tumblers at Harbor Freight. There are nicer ones. I've got an old, I think it's a Lyman. It's orange, so I'm assuming it's a Lyman. This thing has been around for years. I'm not the original owner of it. The only thing that I'll say that's wrong with it is it's got a like a wire weave lid on it that's designed so that you can flip the whole unit upside down and use that to sift your cases out. As a result, it gets dust everywhere. And that kind of brings me to one of the things with the dry tumblers is there's a lot of options on media, and some of them do create a lot of dust. And that's one of the biggest downsides of this kind of cleaning. I use walnut media. It's actually lizard bedding. You can buy it at PetSmart for, I think I paid $5 or $10 for a bag that will probably last me for 5 years. You can buy the pre-treated corn cob media. I hate that stuff. I have tons of issues with it getting stuck in flash holes. I don't think it does a very good job. I actually use it to load shotgun shells to shoot carpenter bees with, which I think is about the most effective use for that stuff. Some people love it. There's other kinds of media. There's untreated corn cob. There are more abrasive medias. There's all sorts of things that people have experimented with adding into it. A lot of people swear by it. It's, I think, a cap full of new finish car polish and some mineral spirits. And I could definitely see the mineral spirits cutting the dust down. Another trick I've found to cut that dust down is take a dryer sheet, like a dryer softener sheet, tear it into pieces, put that in there. That will absorb a lot of that dust. It also helps when you first put the media in it. Put your tumbler outside, let it run for like an hour with nothing in it outside. That's when it's going to dust the most. It'll get the most of that dust out. And then the final way that I help with that is I have a bucket that I found that is the right size to hold the tumbler. It holds my spare media. It holds everything. But when I'm actually tumbling, I flip that bucket upside down over the unit. And I found that not only does it keep the dust down to a very small area the size of the bucket, but it cuts the noise down on the thing quite a bit. And that kind of leads to another little issue with these is they're not the quietest things. They make kind of a droning sound. So if you live in a household where someone's very noise sensitive or anything like that, you're not going to let it work. In fact, I just had to unplug mine to record this podcast because otherwise you'd hear this annoying droning noise in the background the whole time. So the one other thing that I do really like about these, and in fact, this isn't my normal way of cleaning. I'm doing it because I just moved to a new house and I don't have a sink down near my reloading area, which we'll get to why that's necessary. I throw my brass in there. It does take a while. I just let it run overnight with a load of brass usually, dump it out the next day. It's a very easy cleanup. You basically separate the media from the brass, which you can do with a strainer type of thing. You can do it by hand just by picking the brass out. They have bigger like rotating assemblies that will get the brass and the media separated. Any of those work well. The other thing is these are pretty useful for other tasks other than just cleaning brass. If you go to Harbor Freight, you can actually get these ceramic triangular. They look like little pyramid media. Those work great for cleaning up old rusty bolts. My reloading tumbler has been used for everything from actual reloading to cleaning up pulled bullets to cleaning up bolts off of my car and other projects. I do some machining just for fun. I've occasionally thrown finished pieces in there to knock the burrs off. I have used it on gun parts before to kind of clean them up, get the burrs off if they're rusted parts from an old gun. So that is one thing. Having one of these dry tumblers is kind of the Swiss Army knife I see of these kind of devices. It can do a lot of different things. The capacity on them is pretty good. You can do quite a few cases. And if you pay attention to what media you use, do some experimenting, you can get very good results. In fact, it'll really shine the brass better than anything else out there. So definitely, I think every reloader should have a dry tumbler type of setup. They don't necessarily need to use it every time. It may not be their main one, but you should really have one sitting around in the corner. If you watch the used ads, you can probably pick one of these up for 10 or 20 bucks with media, probably. That'll probably be that horrible pre-treated garbage, but then you've got something to get rid of your carpenter bees with. So moving on to the one of the new fads, which is wet tumbling. So the idea here is you use a rotary type tumbler, so think a drum that rotates around and around. You put your brass in it, you put water in it, you typically put some kind of soap and polishing agent. The most popular one out there is called, I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's basically a despotting agent. And then you put stainless steel pins or other media in it. And the idea is that the stainless steel will abrade the defects off of the brass. So the proponents of this, and I usually use this, and I was using this up until the point that I moved, it gets brass clean very quickly. Whereas I might leave a load of brass in the dry tumbler overnight, I can run a load of brass in like 30 or 40 minutes in my wet tumbler. Now, it holds a little bit less brass, but because of that volume, I can be, say, sitting at the progressive cranking rounds out, and at the same time, I've got that tumbler going, I'm swapping that stuff every 20, 30, 40 minutes, depending on what kind of brass it is, and I can churn through some brass. I can usually clean out my dirty brass bin in an afternoon if I'm really going at it. Now, the downsides to it. Oh, and it also, it does a much better job of cleaning primer pockets out than a dry tumbler does. So if you are someone that likes to deprime your brass before you clean it, which there are some definite advantages to, it will do a very good job of that as compared to dry tumbling. With dry tumbling, I find that I usually have to go back with the primer pocket cleaner and clean the brass out or just kind of ignore it for two or three loadings. Now, getting into the downsides of wet tumbling. For one, it's wet. You need water. You also need water to rinse it off because at the end, you're going to have your brass covered in typically dish soap, and Lemishine was the agent that I was trying to remember earlier. So you really need a sink to rinse this out in. Depending on your relationship status, it might be fine to do this in your kitchen sink. However, for a large majority of us, that won't fly. So I like having a dedicated sink for it. The other thing is the stainless media, while it's not expensive, it's not cheap. So I kind of like having a sink with some magnets in it to catch that media before it washes down the drain and I've got to go buy more. It's really, I think it's a good option, especially for someone like me that doesn't demand absolute perfection in their brass cleaning. You know, I don't look for my reflection in my brass. If the dirt's off of it, it's good to go. And I think that for the speed, it's one of the best options. It's also not as expensive as a lot of people think to get into it. You can spend a lot of money. There are some very advanced tumblers out there that have a lot of capacity. They've got special features. They've got this. They've got that. I use the Harbor Freight Dual Drum Rock Tumbler, which I retrofitted the dual drums and replaced them with a piece of 4-inch PVC and some test caps from Home Depot. And for media, I use a company called Southern Shine Tumblers. They're actually out of my home state of Georgia. I've got no real affiliation with them other than being a satisfied customer. And their media is actually what appear to be lathe or mill chips. So unlike pins, they don't get stuck in places, and their price is very attractive because, I mean, there are other choices to scrap this stuff, so I'm sure that they're actually laughing at all the people who pay 10 times what they could get scrap metal for this. But very good people. They ship very quickly. I really like their product. So that's, you know, kind of a budget setup. I've even seen cheaper than that. You can use a 5-gallon drum and set it on a treadmill, which I think half of the United States has a spare treadmill laying around that's nothing more than a clothes hanger, a board to keep it from going too far, and let it go. It works fine doing that. So there are ways to do it. Like I said, it's kind of the latest craze in case cleaning. There's a lot of people that swear by it. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. And I think one of the other big downsides to it is it's only really good for cleaning cases. You can't clean up rounds after you've loaded them, which I know that that's another topic. I find no safety issue with tumbling loaded rounds. I know some people do, but you can't do it in a wet tumbler because there's a good chance the water would get past the bullet. I found that they're not really effective, and trust me, I've tried at cleaning bolts and hardware and stuff like that, and I definitely wouldn't want to put any kind of firearms parts or anything that I cared about in there. So that's kind of the downside to it is, while it is very quick, it tends to be it's quick and it's a little messy in the fact that you've got to deal with water, and it's kind of a reloading only. And then you need a way to dry the cases. You can certainly leave them out in the sun. You can leave them under a dryer, under an air vent. I have, which it's in storage right now, a what's called a process oven, which is basically a fairly precise convection type oven that I picked up. I also use it for powder coating and painting and all sorts of stuff like that. So I've got a little bit of a leg up there. You can use an old toaster. You don't want to heat the brass up too much, but you know, a couple hundred degrees for 20, 30 minutes will get your brass dry. And that's where, if you're really trying to cycle some brass through, you run it in the tumbler for 30 minutes, you've got another load in the dryer going, you take the stuff out of whatever you use for the dryer, you throw the new stuff in there, you put some more in there, you can churn through some brass with it. So that's part of why I like that, and it's part of why it's kind of my normal cleaning method. So we got two of them down. Now the third is one that isn't as common in a lot of circles, and that's ultrasonic cleaning. With the advent of the internet and Chinese crap, we can now buy an ultrasonic cleaner for pennies of what we used to be able to find them for. They're really inexpensive. I bought one at Harbor Freight. It had to be a decade or more ago. I think I paid $70 for it. As a general purpose cleaner, I love it. If mine died tomorrow, I would be driving down to Harbor Freight to buy another one or going on Amazon to get the upgraded version. I clean everything in there. I rebuilt a 1950s lathe, and basically any part that could fit in the ultrasonic got cleaned in the ultrasonic. With the right mixture in there, you can strip paint off of things. You can get the rust off of things. You can clean anything. In fact, when I bring home my I-Corps gun, my revolver, my cleaning method is generally to take the cylinder off of the gun, drop the entire cylinder in there, let it run, take it off, blow it dry, put it back on the gun, and I'm ready to shoot the next week. So from a versatility standpoint, I think it's one of the best. You do still have the issue with cleanup. And in addition, I found with brass, it gets it clean, but it never gets it sparkling clean. It never gets it quite as clean as you can in a dry or a wet tumbler, because it just doesn't have that abrasive action. As far as brass cleaning, I don't use it that often. Most of what I use it for is 5.7 by 28, because that has a lacquer coating on it that if you tumble it in any method, that coating will get stripped off of it, and the brass will pretty much be useless because it no longer ejects right. So it is good for easily damageable brass. It's good for, I know some precision rifle shooters use it because they see it that it's a method that will do the least damage to the brass. You're not going to hurt the base metal at all. So it's definitely a good option. And like I said, on the versatility scale, it's through the roof. You can use that ultrasonic cleaner for all sorts of things. In fact, if you go to a gunsmith, most modern gunsmiths, and pay them to clean your gun, a lot of times it's an ultrasonic cleaning, because it's a very easy and effective way to really get the dirt and grime out of every little crevice that you couldn't normally get a cleaning rod into. So you still have to deal with the water. You don't have to deal with changing the water in the unit that often, but you do still have to rinse off whatever you take out of there. You do still have to dry it. So, you know, it's definitely not a hassle-free. I think in terms of hassle, dry tumbling is the least hassle. Ultrasonic is probably next, and then wet tumbling. In terms of speed, it's wet tumbling, ultrasonic, and then dry tumbling. In terms of quality of finish, it's probably dry tumbling, then wet tumbling, then ultrasonic. So you see why I say that there's no clear winner here. I can't tell you any one thing that it's like, if you do this, your brass will be done in 10 minutes and it'll be perfect, because that doesn't exist. There's a lot of different options out there. And if you look at the history of these, most of them are replicating industrial processes for cleaning materials. Dry tumbling has been around forever. In fact, there's industrial-sized dry tumblers that will clean just about anything. Wet tumbling has been around for years. It's more of a specialized process, but it's still out there. It's still in use in the industry. That's why the stainless steel pins existed that we could try using them for. And ultrasonic has been a major cleaning, especially in the platings industry, for years. So all of these are mimicking things that are already out there. And that's why, with all of them, there's a lot of options. That's why there's countless media options for your dry tumbler. That's why there's all different ultrasonic cleaning solutions. There's a lot of options out there. And I'm sure, you know, 5 years down the road, someone's going to come up with another option based on an existing cleaning method that's out there. Maybe someone will find a chemical that just eats through issues that show up on the brass and will just take care of everything. It might happen. Maybe we'll start cleaning them with a pressure washer in the future. If you are short where your tumbler's broken, you need some brass cleaned, you know, life issues kind of stuff, there are ways to do it. I will tell you that brass put through the washing machine, like your clothes washer, works quite well. I'd put it in one of those like mesh bags. Again, this works best depending on your marital status, or your lack of marital status, I guess I should say. But I will say the brass that I accidentally leave in my pocket every week comes out of that dryer perfectly shiny. I would be a little concerned with the fact that you're probably washing lead into your washing machine. So if you do it, run a cycle with bleach through it before you put your actual clothes or sheets in there, just for safety. On the same token, I've heard that dishwashers work well, as long as you've got some kind of enclosure. Dishwashers also work really well for cleaning cylinder heads off of engines. Not that I've done that in a while, but you'd be amazed at how well that works. So there's other ways to clean your brass if you come down to a pinch. But like I said, if you browse your local classifieds, you can probably find a dry tumbler for not much money. And you might even get some added features with it. It's one of those, I really think every reloader should have a dry tumbler laying around somewhere in their reloading room. And then if they want to ultrasonic or they want to wet tumble, that's fine. That's their backup and that's what they use. You know, I've had cases come out and I start feeling the cases and they've got like a waxy feel to them and I just know that it's not going to feed right. That's when I'll dry tumble them for a couple minutes after they're loaded, get that nastiness off of there, get that scuzz off of there. Other news, other topics, etc. Finally got back to reloading some I-Corps rounds. I've got this nice pile of loaded moon clips ready to go in front of me. It's actually one of those, I don't know about you guys, but my wife called while I was on the way home and she said, "Hey, I'm running out. I'm going to be late. You know, are you fine doing dinner to yourself?" Sure. Came down here. It's been a really long few days. Work's been really, really stressful. Came down, put the press up there, got my powder thrower tuned in, and just kind of sat there and cranked off about 150 rounds. And just sitting there doing that relaxed me so much compared with the last week. I could just focus on one thing. And that's part of why I shoot and part of why I reload is someone's going to say, "Well, you're sitting around things that are really loud and making fireballs." But for me, the ability to focus down on just one thing at a time and focus on the quality of every round or the quality of every shot, just it calms my nerves so much. And that's why this is such a big hobby for me. Getting there and finally getting to get those rounds loaded was a huge deal. So I'm happy. I need to get more loaded. Like I said, this is going to be my big year for I-Corps. I need to get these rounds tested. I don't want to crank too many more out until I make sure that the chrono is still good. I'm a couple cans deep on powder since my last chrono, and different powder lots can burn at different rates, so I really don't want to risk it too much, but I should be safe. I think I was a good 4 to 5 feet per second over power factor the last time I checked. One thing, if you guys are ever wondering, with revolver reloading, you don't have to worry about cycling the action. You don't need enough pressure to do that. So you're really trying to load the rounds to recoil as light as possible for hitting the same power factor. In general, rule of thumb, it's not always the case, but a faster burning powder will have less felt recoil than a slower burning powder. I found that out myself in testing. I now use Tightwad, which is a fairly fast shotgun powder. I don't need much in a case. I think a can will load me 2,000... Math. Yeah, 2,000-ish rounds, so it's a very good value from that perspective. And the recoil is very low. I've experimented with some lower recoiling powders. I just haven't been able to get them in quantity enough to feel comfortable making them my powder. Nitro 1000's a pretty good option. There's also a Vitivori, I think is how you pronounce it, powder. But every time I look at that stuff, I've shot it. It's very nice on the low smoke. It's very clean. But dang, my wallet hurts every time I even look at that stuff. So I don't think I'll be making that jump anytime soon. Another thing, just a real quick topic, because I'm on the revolver run right now. Primer seating. So I see it a lot in competition, not just with revolvers, but with all guns. One of the most common factors that will jam a gun up and break your streak is a high primer. If it is slightly high, most automatics will be okay with it. And, you know, they have enough power behind them. If it's too high, it will actually jam the gun up because it'll stick the back of the slide or the back of the action before it needs to. On a revolver, seating depth is absolutely critical. We're typically running our hammer springs and our hammers as light as possible. And for that reason, most of us use Federal primers because the other kinds are just too hard and don't provide reliable ignition. But none of them, even the softest primer out there, it will not go off if it's not fully seated. In fact, what will typically happen is on a revolver where you can fire the same shot more than once, on the first go-round, it won't fire, and then on the second go-round, it will. And that's because when it first tried to fire, it actually pushed that primer in and seated it all the way. So if you are a competitive shooter, really if you're any shooter, but especially if you're a competitive shooter, one of the most important things you can do is check your primer depths after you do it. It's not hard. If you just run a finger over the back of the case, you're going to feel the ones that are high. Now, a lot of people are going to ask, what do I do with the ones that are high? How do I do it? You can safely, I just did a dozen or so of them, push that primer in all the way. I use a hand primer, I wear safety glasses, and I wear gloves when I do it because I'm a little paranoid. I'm not that paranoid, but that's one of the times I know I'm... If anything's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong in a very bad way because that brass case is going to explode everywhere. I also make sure that the top of my primer seat stays impeccably clean. No dust, no speck of powder, nothing on there. But if you put it in there and you squeeze it down, you can very easily push that primer in all the way and it's perfectly safe. It doesn't dent the primer. If you think about it, it's the same as if you're priming something that's not loaded. It's the same action. It's the same thing. If it was a real risk, primers would be going off while we're pushing them in all the time anyway. So just something to think about, something to know. I think I've seen more failure to fires at various shooting competitions that were because a primer was not seated right. And it's even worse if it jams your gun up, because then you've got to clear a malfunction. And I don't care if you're the fastest shooter out there. If you've got to clear a malfunction, you're going near the bottom of the list. So check your primers. Just run your finger over the back of the case as you go through them. it's a really easy thing to feel. So I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. I hope it was helpful. Maybe if any of you guys were on the fence about trying a new kind of case cleaning, you didn't understand why one, you know, why people said one thing about one or what the upsides or the downsides were, I really hope that I helped you out with that. If you've got any feedback, feel free to leave it for me. I know that this can be a bit sensitive topic for some people. They're very opinionated on it. And then finally, just a quick note again, I really hate getting into politics, but unfortunately the time that we're in right now, it's hard not to. YouTube has decided that they do not want really any gun content on their channels. They've put some rules out there which pretty much make it that nothing is going to survive. And one of their things is they are banning anything that shows how you make or reload ammunition. So in other words, anything put out by us reloaders. So if there are any videos out there that you guys have made for reloading, please move them to another source. Full 30 is making a big push on this. There's a few other websites. There was a joke that, and I don't know, it may very well be true, that some of the gun channels were actually going to start hosting on Pornhub because there's a low chance they're going to get taken down. I don't know if I jumped that far. The other thing is there's a lot of videos out there from people who may have made them years ago. They aren't really active anymore. They may not even know their YouTube password, whatever it might be. You can save and download videos off YouTube. So any video that you found over the years that is extremely helpful, a great example will be the one from the guys that did all the competition stuff that did, you know, how to shoot I-Corps or IPDA and all of those. They had one on the Dylan Square DLB that was just excellent. In fact, I think Dylan sends it to people as a reference for how to set your press up. The Power Factor Show. If you've got videos like that that you enjoy that have been really helpful for you, download them. Download them, get them on your computer's hard drive, throw them on an external, something, save them. Hopefully if all of us download a couple videos here and there, whenever we find a real proper, you know, everyone decides that this is going to be the replacement for YouTube, we can put those videos back up there. We can, you know, even if it's not the original content creator, we've got the video somewhere and one of us can get it up there so that other people can be helped by them. Digital decay is a real thing, whether it's because of a political reason or whether it's because a service just shuts down. So don't assume because something's on the internet today that it's going to be on the internet in a year or 5 years or 10 years. So just a quick public service. Like I said, I really hate politics, but unfortunately, the environment that we're in is making us all have to care. So I'm going to sign off here, probably throw a few more rounds through the press. Like I said, feel free to send me your feedback. I really like to hear from you guys. If there's anything that you'd like to hear, let me know. I published a quick list of what my upcoming topics might be. If you want one of those bumped to the top of the list, let me know. Otherwise, happy reloading and stay safe.